If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live, if you stand firm in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to focus clearly upon your word, on what you have written, and what you want to say to us today. Our needs are as unique as we are. Our experiences from the past week and what we expect of this week are all different. But we've all come here this morning to hear from you. So as we look into your word, examine it, I pray, Father, that it will be more than just an educational exercise, but rather as we go through these words that you have written for us, that we will determine right from the beginning that we are going to listen and we are going to obey. We will not just be hearers of your word, but as James challenges us, we will also be doers of your word. Help us to block out the distractions, quiet our hearts, focus our minds, take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in verse 5, Paul said, I sent to find out about the quality of your faith. Just a little reminder, Paul was not able to stay in Thessalonica very long. Trouble kicked up almost immediately, and he had to leave. There were challenges from the Jews who didn't want to hear about Jesus, the Messiah. There were challenges from the Gentile community that didn't want to hear about the one and only true God. Together, conflict, Paul, Silas, Timothy had to leave. They went to Berea, had a great experience there, were wonderfully encouraged. But at that point, Paul decided while he would go on to Athens, he wanted to send Timothy back to Thessalonica to check on them. What he says here, the quality of your faith. He knew what they were taught. He knew what they responded to. What Paul's needing to know is how genuine their decision was. And by this time, he would expect to see some evidence of genuine salvation, true conversion, some growth. So he sends Timothy back. He goes on to Athens. No mention of Silas. Not sure what he did. Perhaps he stayed right there in Berea. More about that in just a moment. Paul says, I wanted to find out about the quality of your faith. Specifically, has the tempter tempted you? It was tough for me to type, it was tough for Jeremy to type, and it's even harder to say, but you know the point. You get the point. Anytime God is active through His Holy Spirit in the lives of men and women, Satan is going to do something to counter that. Anything he can do to keep brand new Christians, genuine believers, from maturing and growing, anything he can do to keep them quiet, to keep them from sharing their faith, anything he can do to discourage them, he will do it. So has Satan been active? And again, this equation, if your faith is genuine, if it's true, then I know Satan has been active. And I want to know how you responded. How did your faith hold up under all of that? Or was our labor in vain? Instead of what I thought I saw, what I've been praying for, that just in Jesus' parable of the sower, it seemed like so much of the seed was going into well-cultivated ground, and your conversions, your statements of faith seemed to be genuine. And if that's true, there would be a little bit of growth and we'd see it. Oh, not full mature plants, but we'd see growth, and that's great, and we'd be encouraged by that. But did most of that seed fall among rocks and thorns and roadway? I didn't get to stay long enough to know for sure. Was our labor in vain? But now that Timothy has come, don't know for sure. Perhaps Silas stayed in Berea. Timothy went to Thessalonica, spent some time there, encouraging them, teaching them. Timothy is the youngest of the three. He's the newest Christian of the three. Maybe he can understand a little better, or help them to understand a little better, what this process is all about. Don't get discouraged because you're not like him or like her. Are you further along than you were yesterday? Be encouraged. You're growing. Timothy might have been a little more sensitive to that than Silas or Paul. Timothy has come, probably, maybe, I should say, picked up Silas on the way. All three have now finally arrived in Corinth. That's where this letter is written. And Timothy's arrival back is the occasion for this letter. As Timothy's sitting there telling Paul about what he saw and what he heard and what he taught and how they responded to it, Paul starts writing. He's excited about what has happened. Good news. Now that Timothy has come and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. I may be adding too much to this, so take that for what it's worth. But when Paul says that he's glad to hear that you're thinking kindly of us, longing to see us, I think it's very likely that that's a reference to the fact that Paul stirred up a lot of trouble for these people. There were Jews who were very happy in their synagogue, believing that someday the Messiah would come and free them from the tyranny of Rome. And there were Gentiles in Thessalonica who were more than happy to collect idols, pray to them all, and of course, all of the business that surrounded that. They were all happy people. And here comes Paul, and he says to the Jewish community in the synagogue, Jesus of Nazareth fulfills all of the prophecies from Abraham on, including Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. And many of them believed. And to the pagan community, you worship all of these idols, all of these things made by man's hands. Do you really think that's God? Do you really think God is represented by all of these idols and by all of these ideas? There is only one true God, Creator God, who loves you, who sent Jesus to die for you, and many of them responded. And in all kinds of trouble, because that's what happens. When the gospel takes root in the life, in the heart of a believer, things that used to be okay aren't okay anymore. Things don't go along like they did before. There should be changes in our lives. There should be evidence of something new happening within us. We shouldn't be the same. And Paul is saying, I'm so glad. You Jews, you Jewish folks, you Jewish brethren, who see in Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, suffer right along with us and are thankful for the honor of suffering in the name of Jesus. And you Gentiles, who for so long have been worshiping anything and everything that moved or would stand still long enough that you could, you now have peace with the one true God who is, through his Son Jesus. And you all long to see us again. You hold us in honor befitting someone who's come and shared the truth with you. But what sparked this? Well, the first part of verse 5. He brought back good news of your faith and love. Faith, the genuineness of the decision, the prayer that was spoken, was true, was real, was honest. And as a result of that, there was evidence of that choice. And the first hallmark evidence of salvation is love. Love for the God who saved you, who redeemed you, and love for your brothers and sisters. John will put it this way. How can you say you love God whom you've never seen if you can't love the brother, the sister that you have seen? James or John would say they are inconsistent. Don't tell me about how much you love God if you can't get along with your brother and sister. Because the first hallmark evidence of genuine salvation is love for one another. That's why the church does so much damage every time two believers go at it. And don't you know, it's almost never about theology. It's almost never about scripture. It's almost always about money or power, influence, position. And when we do that, we take away we lose our credibility with the world around us. we lose our uniqueness. So when Paul hears of their faith and Timothy's testimony of their love for one another, he is encouraged. That is good news. He says in verse 7, we were comforted. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. The distress and affliction, I'm not absolutely sure, because we can't be sure that Luke has told us the whole story. Well, in fact, we know he didn't tell us the whole story. Every once in a while, we get some things like Paul sending Timothy back to Thessalonica. That's not in Acts, that's here. So we know Luke didn't record everything that happened. But from the time he left Thessalonica to Berea, to Athens, to Corinth, with all of the different things that Paul had to struggle with, that was a fairly peaceful time for him. So what are the afflictions? What's the distress? His concern over these new believers in Thessalonica. That's who this guy is. He's traveling hundreds of miles by foot, sharing the gospel with people he's never seen or known before, struggling in a variety of ways. But what's tugging at his heart, what's distressing him, are these folks in Thessalonica. So when he hears of that, he's comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. Again, another evidence of maturity, another evidence of growth. And the lack of success of the tempter. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? Remember, Eve's problem was that she wasn't really sure what she believed, and she had no clue as to why she believed it. Satan knew that and went right at that weak spot. In contrast, Paul is saying, stand firm. Know what you believe and know why you believe it. These folks are standing firmer because of the ministry of Timothy. He went back and filled in some of the blanks and answered some of the questions that came up, because remember, Paul had to leave pretty quickly. He answered the questions. He helped them to grow. And he came back and said, Paul, they're standing firm. They are firm in their faith. They know what you taught them. They believe what you taught them. They know what they believe and they know why they believe it. They're growing. They're standing firm. As a result, Paul says, we are so thankful. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? He has said, and he will say again before we're done this morning, he spends a lot of time on his knees praying for the church and for individual churches, and most recently, the church in Thessalonica. And having heard back from them, he is most thankful. His heart is filled with joy. He is rejoicing on your account. And again, there is no attempt on the part of the Apostle Paul to raise himself up, to take any of the credit for any of that. He was the seed planter. He shared the gospel. Maybe helped with some as they thought through what they were taught, and he helped them in the process of recognizing Jesus as Savior and Lord. He got to do that. But he knows that he is not the one who gets the credit for the result. It's all God's work in the lives of these individual believers. And so when he thinks about them and they're growing and they're maturing, young as they are, they're not perfect. They haven't arrived any more than you and I have. But they're well on the way. So in conclusion, he says here in verse 10, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face, we look forward to that time when we can, you know, not a matter of writing letters, even this one, which is a positive letter. Timothy has said some wonderful things about them. He's come back with some questions. Chapters 4 and 5 are going to answer some of those questions that they had, that they'd like to hear from Paul about. Tells you a little bit of something about Timothy's humility, right? Evidently, Timothy thought he didn't know it all. Not a bad place to be. Let me check with Paul on that. See, he couldn't turn to chapter such and such and such and such a book. You know, I'm not sure about that. He didn't have any trouble saying, I'm not sure about that. Let's check with Paul. I look forward to seeing you and sitting down with you and chatting with you. And then he says something that really surprised me in English. He says, and that I may complete what is lacking in your faith. Complete what is lacking in your faith. What could be missing? What don't the Thessalonians have that Paul could help them with? What could be lacking? It certainly can't be the quality of their faith or the focus of their faith. What could it be? What could be lacking? The only thing that fits is maturing. I want to be involved in helping you grow. I want to be involved in that process of strengthening and encouraging. Remember that? I usually say challenge and encourage. Both good ideas. Paul just skips to the point. Challenging is for the purpose of strengthening. So whether it's challenge and encourage or strengthen and encourage, the result is the same: growing, maturing. Paul says, I want to be a part of that. What's lacking? Well, you got to continue to grow up. And you never get there here. You never get to sit down and say, I'm done. I've grown all I can grow. I know all I can know. I've seen all I can see. I've experienced all I can experience of God's love, of His grace, of His mercy. I know it all. You don't get to say that here, truthfully. So Paul says, I want to be involved in helping you in that process. Timothy got there first, but I want to get there too and help you in your growing with the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately. Thank you for men today, like Timothy, Silas, and Paul. And women too. Just as you used many in the first century church, men and women, to challenge and encourage. Young men like Timothy, who knew they didn't know it all, who weren't afraid to admit that, to go find the answer, to help others search out the answer. Guys like Silas and gals who just, they'll do whatever needs to be done. True encouragers. And then Paul, there aren't many of them, men whom you have gifted as you gifted him. But we thank you for them and the influence that they have over your church. And just in those three men, we can see places where we might fit in our responsibility to one another. Because just like the church in Thessalonica, if we have truly been saved, then we do love one another, and we want to be helpful to one another. Whatever that means, may we be useful to you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.